Well, today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. If you need a Bible, raise your hand and the ushers will bring you one. We need our swords. We're going to be here in Calvary Health Central. We like to go through the Word of God verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, so we can get the whole counsel of God. You know, when we first arrived to Calvary Chapel, that was something that we needed. We needed to learn how to go through the Word of God, how to feed ourselves. And this is so crucial that we would come and read the Word together and learn and take it home and continue to digest it and prepare our own meals. This is so important. So I encourage you guys to, if you don't have a Bible, come and see me afterwards. We can get you one. But again, today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at one of Paul's prayers. You ever read through the prayers in the Bible and just get a sense that our prayers sometimes are not like the prayers in the Bible? The Apostle Paul was a man of prayer. He not only instructed the believers in the discipline of prayer, but he also modeled it himself. When we study Paul's prayers from prison, we notice that he focuses more on the spiritual condition than in the material needs. There's nothing wrong when we pray for things, for physical needs. But what we learn is that when the inner man is strengthened, the outer man will take care of itself as well. When the inner man is strengthened, when we take care of the inner man. And I think of a tree, you know, planted by near the water. When its roots are near the water, you can tell that it's a healthy tree, the branches, the leaves, the fruit, because it's being nourished, right? So it's in a similar way that happens to us. In Paul's first prayer, in Ephesians chapter 1, I'm just making reference to chapter 1 because there's several prayers, but in chapter 1, he was praying for the eyes of their understanding, the eyes of the Ephesians to be open, our eyes to be open, that we would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him, so that we would walk in this living hope with the Lord, who is Jesus, who is head over all things. In the first prayer, he's focused more on the enlightenment and in the understanding, right? Our understanding. But in this prayer in chapter 3, we're going to be able to study, he focuses more on enabling us, equipping us. So if you don't mind, I'd like to for us to read through that passage, chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. Verse 14 to 21. This is a good time also to put your phones on silent. It's happened to me in the middle of the service that it starts ringing, and it can be a distraction. So here we go. Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21. How about if I read the even numbers, and you guys read the odd numbers? Is that okay with you guys? Here we go. Verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. From that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height to now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Abba, Father, you are good. You are holy, 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 and worthy of all praise. Father, we come before you and ask that you would search our hearts, that your word would go through us. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us for the many times that we forsake this quiet time with you that you would teach us the value, the importance of prayer and how to approach you and what to pray for. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word. Oh, Lord Jesus, that you would be heard, that you would be lifted up high and glorified. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 14 begins, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Prayer is one of the most powerful resources God has given us. So why is it that prayer meetings are the least attended? Prayer meetings. When we announce, hey, we're going to have a potluck, suddenly we have a bunch of people. But when we say prayer meeting, cricket, cricket. Is it laziness? Is it lack of understanding? Is it both? The truth is that where there's no prayer, there's no power. Where there's no prayer, there's a lack of nearness with the Lord. Prayer serves to align our hearts with God's heart. As a musician, I think it's like, have you ever guys seen the tuner when we tune our guitars? The tuner tunes my guitar to the correct note, the correct tone. And our hearts need to be tuned to the Lord's heart. Even Jesus himself showed us the importance of prayer, who being surrounded by a multitude of people that were following him, he found time to get up early in the morning to be alone and talk with God the Father. Mark 1:35 says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." So if prayer was important for Jesus, the Son of God, then how much more should it be for us? We who are weak and powerless and bankrupt without him. Paul said in Ephesians 3:14, "I bow my knees to the Father." I bow my knees to the Father. And the Bible gives us several examples of the postures of prayer. But it doesn't command any specific posture for prayer, a physical posture. Abraham, he stood before the Lord when he prayed for Sodom in Genesis chapter 18. King David, he sat before the Lord when he prayed about the future of his kingdom in 1 Chronicles 17. Jesus fell on his face and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26. So we see all these examples of physical postures, right? In John 17, Jesus opened his eyes, he looked up. There's times when I pray while I'm waiting at a traffic light, as the Lord brings someone to mind. Oh, Lord, I'm praying for maybe my family, my children, my grandchildren. I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying for the worship team. Praying for our country. Praying for that maybe that couple that is past crossing the street and they're just crossing, arguing with each other. Lord, what is happening in their lives? You know. Help turn their eyes to you. Sometimes I'm praying in the back porch of my house, just looking up to the clouds, and I'm just interceding for you, interceding for each one of you, and for my family, for my brothers, my friends. Sometimes I'm flat on my face in my closet because I'm afraid of what I might say on Sunday morning. That the Lord would give me the words to speak his truth, and not that you would not be stumbled because of something I said, but that you would hear Jesus and not me. God said to Samuel, "Man looks at the outward appearance, But the Lord looks at the heart, 1 Samuel 16. So what matters most, the posture that is more important, is the posture of our heart. When you come to the Lord, do you come before Him with reverence? Do you come before Him with humility? Or do you just come with a list of things? Lord, bless my business, bless this, bless blah, 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 and give me and bless and take care of me and help and protect and bless me and be with me. Is that our prayer? Who knows the shortest prayer in the Bible? How about Peter when he was sinking? When he walked out of the boat. Jesus, help! Right? There's a helpful acronym. You might have heard of this before, but it's spelled out A-C-T-S, ACTS. A. If you're taking notes, this is a good time to take notes. I encourage you. You'll probably take something more with you. But think of ACTS. A for adoration. Jesus, when he was teaching the disciples to pray, they said, teach us to pray. He said, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Recognizing the Lord God. Do we come before him with reverence? Acts, adoration. C, think of confession. Think of washing your hands. Think of washing your heart before the Lord, asking him to wash you. Confession. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Confession is so important that we come clean with the Lord. He already knows where you're failing. He knows. He just wants you to agree with him. T, for thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Do you come before him with a thankful heart? Are you focusing more on what you do not have, on what you are lacking, than on what you have? Don't focus on what you're lacking. Focus on what you do have. Forgiveness, redemption, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise that you will never be alone. Thanksgiving, there's so much to thank him for. For a new beginning, for his mercies being new every morning, that you get a fresh new start today, that you woke up today. That means he's not done with us. That means he's still writing your story. S for supplication. Here's where we can bring our list of things. Those things that we, maybe those struggles, maybe needs, personal needs, physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual. Maybe praying for your loved ones. Supplication. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 tells us, be anxious about nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is a peace that the world cannot give you. This is the supernatural peace that only the Lord can give you when you begin to trust him. Trust him for the impossible. Trust him that he is good. Trust him that he loves you, and he knows what is best. Verse 14 says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father. For what reason is this? Prior to this, Paul had been describing how the God of Israel had extended his grace to us Gentiles, us non-Jews, to make us partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, Ephesians 3. You see, for centuries, the honorable title of a people for himself was given to the Jews. A people for himself, Deuteronomy 7. But today, God is calling out a people for his name out of both Jews and Gentiles. He's calling out a people. Interestingly, the Greek word for church is ekklesia, which means called out. Did you know that church means called out? You're the called out. Called out of what? The church is made up of those who have heard and responded to the call of God through Jesus, his son. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Wow. This is the answer to so many problems. So many people who are confused with their identity, or confused with not feeling accepted, or they feel a lack of, they want to belong to someone. You know that God calls you a special people? You, each one of you, he calls you a special people. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light so that we can now proclaim his praises. I've been saved. I've been delivered. I've been forgiven. I've been given a new beginning. Thank you, Lord. You are good. This is amazing that God has not only provided a way for us to be forgiven and reconciled to him through his son Jesus, but also has made us his own special people. Verse 15 says, "From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Not only has God made us his own special people, but has adopted us as his children, as part of his family. You see, because the Ephesians, Paul called them saints because they had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had believed. As Abraham believed, he calls you and I to believe. The Ephesians had believed. And so now, see, they were part of the family of God. And this is an invitation available to all, but not accepted by everyone. Speaking about Jesus in John 1, 11 to 12, says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. The sad truth is that not everyone is a child of God. We all originated from him, the creator of the heavens and the earth. But unless you receive the Son, you cannot receive the Father. This is what separates Christianity from these cults out there. When they reject Jesus, his deity, when they reject him, they are not children of God. This is the problem with Jehovah's Witnesses. This is the problem with those Latter-day Saints or Mormons or however you know them. When they do not accept Jesus as who he is, his words, when you reject Jesus, you're rejecting the Father as well. 1 John 2:23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. I'd like to illustrate this with a story. I'm going to call this boy Tommy. Tommy was from Mexican origin. He lived here as an immigrant. And he was, I had some friends that were his foster parents. And Tommy had a good home. His foster parents loved him, and they took him to church. Now, I have a little bit of understanding of the immigration process because that was my career in the past. And someone who is not a U.S. citizen is considered a guest here until he decides to be an American. But there is a policy that it says if a U.S. citizen adopts someone who is not a U.S. citizen, this U.S. citizen can derive citizenship through the parents. Did you guys know that? Tommy was not a U.S. citizen. And he had the opportunity to become a U.S. citizen if he would agree to be adopted by these foster parents. These foster parents loved him, and they offered him the adoption. We would like to adopt you as our son. And Tommy, we needed his consent to agree to this. Tommy began to hang out, unfortunately, with the bad crowd. And the Bible says bad company corrupts good habits. Well, he started hanging out with the wrong people. His parents continued to warn him, those people are not good company. They're going to lead you astray. But he refused, and he kept rebelling, hanging out with the wrong crowd. Eventually, his friends led him into trouble with the law. And he got in trouble with the law. He ended up in jail. He had refused the adoption. He was just thinking about his friends. He's having a good time. He just rejected the invitation to be adopted by these parents, foster parents. And so when he got in trouble, the law could not protect him. And he was, because of the trouble that he got into, he was uninvited out of the country. He was deported. See, many times, in a similar manner, there are some who assume benefits that only belong to the children of God. People say, well, I believe in God. I'm a child of God. Well, what do you think about Jesus? He's the only one that qualifies you. What have you done with Jesus? Is he your Lord, your Savior? Believing in God just makes you as equal with a demon. Demons believe in God, and they shake, they tremble. But is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Are you just assuming that you're a child of God? What have you done with Jesus? Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. The riches of his glory. According to God's abundant wealth of resources, he wants to grant you according to this abundant wealth of resources, according to the riches of his glory. It says, to be strengthened with might. Might in the Greek is, the word for might is dynamis. And many know it as power or strength, where we get the word dynamite came from. But it also means ability. And that's important. There's people that have the ability to, they fix things. They're able to process things in their mind, and they're able to work on units, AC units, whatever, machines, engines. And then there's me. I can't fix things like that. There's people that can play the violin very beautifully, and then there's people that can. You know, there's different abilities. But you see, the Lord wants us to be strengthened with his ability. He wants to give us the ability to do those things that he calls us to do. Paul is praying that the believers will be granted the ability and power that comes from God for godly living through the Holy Spirit. One thing we must understand is that we're not manufacturers of this strength and ability. We cannot produce this on our own. Don't raise your hand, but do you feel tired? Tired. And I don't mean in the physical way. I know we all can have pretty busy schedules, but I mean spiritually tired. Tired of, like, if you're failing to fulfill God's command to walk as children of light. Like, it's no use. I can't produce this. I cannot do this. I'm not shining the light of Jesus as I should. The reason for this is because you're trying to produce this yourself. But God gives us divine resources to do what he calls us to do. A few days ago, I had my grandson at home, and I love to just, I'm looking for God moments, those teachable moments where I can pass on to my grandchildren some spiritual truth. And there in my yard, we have these solar lights that we plant on the landscape. And so I asked my grandson, "So, what do we have in common with these solar lights?" My grandson says, "Well, they shine at light. They shine at night," he says, "and they shine in the darkness." "Yes. What else?" "Well, they need power." "Yeah." "You know that these cannot produce the power to shine with themselves. They're powerless. How do these get powered?" "By the sun, yes. But I have another one here. But these, they can't shine by themselves. Once they are powered by the sun, then they're able, when it's dark, during the dark times, then they're able to light up." Have you been trying to be a light on your own? You've been trying to produce this light, to be a light to your friends? You've been trying to produce this light to be a walk as a son of light, a daughter of light? And you're doing it in your own strength? You don't spend time in the Word. You don't spend time in prayer. You don't hear worship songs throughout the day. You're not keeping your mind on the Lord. You're busy with other things that have no spiritual value. You know stats about sports. You know names of actors and movies. You know everything about everything else except Jesus. And you wonder why you're stumbling, why you keep falling, why you cannot walk as a child of God. Well, maybe you haven't been receiving your strength from the Lord. Yes, these solar lights receive their power from the sun, but we receive our power from the S-O-N, the Son, Jesus the Son. And he's promised us the Holy Spirit, so we can be a light. So have you been skipping your time in the Word? You're skipping your time in prayer, in fellowship. You think, I'll be there on Sunday. I can skip on Sunday. Well, I can tell you, that's a slippery road. I've been there. And it took me on a 2-year hiatus of just backsliding. And it was, all it brought to me was shame and guilt and pain. One lie to cover another lie. Another lie to cover 5 lies. 5 lies to cover 10 lies. And it's just a circle of darkness. And if you've tasted Jesus, and you go down that path, you're miserable. Because as a child of God, you can't sin and have a good time. It's time to come back to the Lord. It's time to come and have him cleanse you and wash you. I had to clean these lights. Because did you know that if the area where is supposed to get the power from the sun, if that's dirty, it cannot receive the power to recharge. So it needed to be cleansed. Does Jesus need to do that to your heart? Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Upon being born again, we are given the Holy Spirit. The Lord gives us His Holy Spirit as a guarantee of our inheritance. But He, is He at home in you? Christ Jesus needs to be at home in us. Have you noticed that you feel more at home in some places than others? Many years ago, my wife and I went to a very fancy restaurant. It was our anniversary. I just wanted to take her somewhere nice. And we went to downtown San Diego, and we went to this really fancy restaurant. We dressed up all nice, and they led us into the restaurant, and we sat there, and some of the things on the menu we didn't understand. And we just picked a couple of things, and they served us, and when they served us, we were like, we looked at each other. What do we do with that? How do we eat that? And when the waiter came back, we're like, excuse me, sir, how do you eat this? it was a nice place, but we were, you know, it was weird. And then a little bit later in the day, we found a little hole-in-the-wall place restaurant, and we were just eating and laughing, and we just had a good time in that little place. For whatever reason, we felt more comfortable in that place, that little hole-in-the-wall place, than in the fancy place. It's funny. But the question is, seriously, does Jesus feel at home in your heart? Imagine your heart being like a home. You hear the doorbell ring. You open the door and you blush because it's Jesus paying you a surprise visit. And you invite him in. And immediately you begin scanning to see with your eyes to see if there's anything that you need to hide. And he asks, can I come in? And would you feel welcome? Would you feel easy welcoming him to just, yes, come. This is your home. Mi casa es tu casa. Would you feel welcome? I mean, would you feel easy inviting him in like that? Or would you be like, come. And you like standing in front of the door. This door over here, this room over here, and you see, he gets a glimpse of that room, and wow, there's a lot of pictures of you and your things. Wow, what do you call this room? Oh, it's my pride room. Oh. And then he goes down the hallway, and he goes down the other room, and it's like, there's like a bitter smell from this room. What's this? Oh, that's my unforgiveness room. It's just turned to bitterness. Oh. And then he starts walking, and he wants to open another door. And then you stop him. And he says, what do you call this room? This is my gluttony and lust room. Would you feel uneasy letting him walk through your house? I was talking to my brother, and he says he has a dog that he's been having trouble house training. And he says, I walked into the house and I smelled this odor. I didn't smell it before when I was there, but when I left the house for a couple of days and I came back in, I could tell. Many times we need an outside perspective because we can't smell ourselves. And we need the Lord Jesus to tell us. To tell us what's going on in my heart. Is there bitterness? Is there unforgiveness? When we pray, are we saying, Lord, if there's any pride in me, don't say if there's any pride. Say, Lord, there is pride in me. Show me where it's at. Don't say if there's any lust, if any unforgiveness, show me where it is, Lord. and lead me to repentance. Abraham, he was a man of faith and obedience. There was a day when the Lord came to his house along with two angels and came to visit Abraham with the promise that he and Sarah would have a son. And Abraham, he prepared a meal for him, for all three. And they ate. Genesis 18. But when it was time to visit Lot, Abraham's nephew, when it was time to investigate the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, only the two angels went ahead. Why is that? The Lord was not at home there. He was not at home in Lot's house. Paul the Apostle is praying that Christ would be at home in our hearts. In order for him to do that, we must remove all the restrictions and give him full access to your heart. Let him cast out whatever it is that you are clinging to above him. Give him access to that. Let him open the windows. Let the Holy Spirit come in and let the fragrance of Christ come in instead of whatever it is that's there that you're hiding. He wants to give you a new beginning, a fresh start. The reason why we struggle is because we love our sin more than him. And that's the truth. We just love it more. And how will you overcome one passion? Well, you overcome it with a greater passion. And so we need to come to him and just stop running. Say, pray like David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Psalm 139. Confess it. Repent of it. Remember, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. That means he will always do it. He is faithful and just. That means he's the qualified one to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That means he cleanses you of everything. Everything. Everything that's coming up to your mind right now. He is able to cleanse you because he already did it on the cross. Once and for all. Hebrews says, through one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. You just need to receive it. Paul continues to pray in verse 18 through 19. That may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul wanted the saints, the believers, to comprehend, to grasp, to get a hold of the love of Christ, which is too great to be measured with anything. If I made a check out to you, let's say just think of the amount, I make a check out for you, and you receive it in your hand, when is it really officially yours? How about when you cash it, when it's in your bank account, when you took it to the bank, you cashed it, it's yours, right? Then you're taking a hold of it. That's when you're grasping it, when you finally make it your own. God wants us to understand how much he loves us. With a love like no other. A love that he demonstrated toward us while we were still sinners. By allowing his son to die on the cross for us. While we were his enemies. While we were his enemies. Think about that. While I'm not interested in him, while I'm doing my own thing, while I'm loving my sin, he knew everything I would do. And from the cross, he was thinking of you and me. And it was his love for us obedient to the Father, to receive the wrath that I deserved, that you deserved, he took it upon himself. God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. It's an unconditional love. The more we grasp and understand this love, the more his love leads us to repentance and obedience. The realization of this love is what helped turn my life around. The more I grasp this love, the more it changes me. The more it leads me to repentance. The more it motivates me to serve and to respond to what he has done for me. And this is what should motivate us to serve him. This is what should motivate us. The more we learn about how much he loves us. But the moment we forget, because we're forgetful, we'll begin to wander. That's why we need to grow in his love. Make it, accept it, receive it, make it your own. He loves you. Stop doubting it. Maybe you had a bad example as some parents, maybe your mother, your father. God is perfect. He is righteous. He is good. I'm proud of my little grandson. He was in an apologetics class, I believe, and the teacher asked him, give us a fact and give us an opinion. And one of my grandsons says, Levi, he said, my opinion is hamsters are the best pets. Something like that. Okay, give us a fact. And he says, God is good all the time. And the teacher says, yes! God is good all the time. He loves you. He is not. He loves you. Regardless of what example you had of others here on earth, God loves you. And it's his love that should drive us to obey, to serve him, to want to honor him and include him in the rest, in every part of our day. Paul is praying that we would be grounded and rooted in this love. When we're grounded and rooted in this love, we're immovable. Like a tree firmly planted, roots deep. Psalm 1 talks about that tree that is near the water, producing its fruit in season. It's getting its nutrition from, because its roots are deep. Paul is praying that our roots will be grounded, rooted in the love of God, love of Christ, immovable, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You can't measure this scientifically. This is beyond your understanding how much God loves you. Don't doubt him. Don't doubt him. He loves you. This is the answer to so many of our culture's problems. These kids looking for affirmation, struggling with identity issues. Don't worry about what all those things. Know that God loves you. You belong to the Lord. He made you. He loves you. And his plans for you are good. God is good all the time, like my grandson said. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God wants us to know that we can pray with great expectation, that it's okay to ask for great things, even things that appear impossible, as long as they bring glory to Jesus. As long as they bring glory to Jesus. It doesn't mean that we can just say, well, I'm praying for a Lamborghini. In what way is that going to bring glory to Jesus? It's going to bring glory to you. You're going to show off your Lamborghini. I'm praying for, what is it? Whatever it might be. Is it going to bring glory to Jesus? Are you willing to trust His sovereignty, His wisdom, His love for you? Our son is coming out of he came out of a difficult situation and a difficult season, and he's been just recently. You know, as parents, when we pray for our kids, we grieve when they grieve, and we hurt when they hurt. It's just part of life. You know, somebody said that our children, it's like wearing our nerves on the outside. You know, when they hurt, we hurt. But it's important to understand that there's a beautiful perspective that God teaches us through our children. And God loves our children even more than we do. And sometimes, as we pray, the answer might be no. But it's because of His love. Sometimes, and it's all good reasons, God, He can see further ahead than we can. And so sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes the answer might be wait, for good reason. God loves you. And sometimes the answer will be yes. But through all this, it's serving to conform us and them to the image of God, to the image of Christ Jesus. Through the whole process, God is changing us and conforming us and changing us and transforming the way we think. The corrections, the detours in our life, they're part of the character shaping process that God uses in our lives. And for those who love Him, well, He will work all things together for good. On the 21st of this month, I was reading Proverbs 21. And, you know, it's for you youngsters, or for anybody, this is a good habit is read a proverb a day. It's easy. It's 31 proverbs. And you can, when you don't know where to begin, go through the proverbs, you know, as part of your devotional time. Not only do that, but it's just a good default system, you know, to get some wisdom and advice and instruction. And so I was reading through Proverbs 21, and it says, the king's heart is in the heart of the hand, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, He turns it wherever He wishes. And then I noticed I wrote a little note next to it. And I put there, Holy Sovereign God, be merciful and gracious to my son. Direct a good employer to hire my son for a full-time job with good days off so he can serve benefits. I prayed that and I put it there. I'm waiting on you, Lord, and in your time. And I put in Jesus' name and I put the time, the date of the month. And just recently, you know, my son got hired with a job that he, just like that. And so I wrote there, update, prayer answered. This is just an example of going through the Word and praying God's Word. Pray God's Word. When you're praying God's Word, you're praying in line with His will. Maybe you've been afraid to ask God for something great. A prodigal son, prodigal daughter, healing, direction in life, deliverance from an addiction, restoration in a relationship. Here's an important lesson about prayer. John 15, 7-8. We're almost done. You guys okay? It says, John 15, 7-8 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So again, the question is, will God be glorified in your answered prayer? What is the motive behind this? Will He be glorified? And so, if He is, Then remember verse 20. Come back to Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able, he is able, remember, nothing's impossible for him. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, it's like Paul is running out of words here. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly. Okay, I got to find another word, Paul says. He is able to do exceedingly, to do abundantly, above. Oh, above what? Above all that we ask or think. According to the power that works in us. Paul is running out of words, trying to describe how good, how mighty, how faithful, how nothing is impossible for the Lord. And that you can ask confidently. You come to the throne of God by the blood of his son Jesus. Not in your own strength, not in your own righteousness, because we have none. We come in the righteousness of his son Jesus. And he invites us to come, enter in boldly to his throne of grace. Come. In conclusion, let's recap the lessons here. Number one, we must have a discipline of prayer in order to be strengthened in communion with the Lord. We must have it. If you're taking notes, remember, we must have a disciplined prayer life, of prayer. We must practice prayer. If you want communion with the Lord, if you want walk in this nearness with him, to align your heart to him, to tune your heart to his, prayer is important. We can't neglect prayer. Number two, through Christ, you can be adopted into the family of God. This is important because without Christ, your prayers are not heard. Number three, well, the only prayer that is heard is the prayer of repentance. Lord, forgive me. He will never reject a broken and contrite spirit. But without Christ, what? Why would he hear you when you're rejecting him? Three, we cannot produce the strength and ability to live a godly life without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, which is offered to us all. Number three, we cannot produce the strength and ability to live a godly life without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, which is offered to us all. He is offering you the Holy Spirit to live godly. It's up to you. Are you going to try to produce the light on your own? Are you going to let him empower you to be a light? Number four, through faith and obedience to his word, Christ will dwell and be at home in our hearts. Do you want him to be at home with you, in your hearts? Get rid of those things that you know are grieving him. And just make room for him. Say, Lord, search my heart, guide my day. What do I need to do? What do I need to get rid of so that you are at home in my heart? And just abide in him. He'll tell you what to do. He's gentle. He is gentle and lowly and loving, and he will tell you. He will guide you. Number five, learn to believe how much God loves you and wants to bless you more than you know. Know that he loves you. He's not angry and mad at you. He's inviting you, come. Learn from me, Jesus says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And you will find rest for your souls. The most important thing is if you have never confessed the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord, this is where it begins. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says that the wages, Romans 6, 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift, but we have to receive it. We have to be willing to receive it. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say, whoever gets 100% score will be saved. No. It says, whoever. It's open to all. Now, I know at this point, we usually just have the closing song, and our worship team can come in and be ready. And we start, like, switching our mind into, okay, where are we going to go to eat? What are we going to do? And we start planning, and we're already on our way like this, right? But I want to encourage you to not be so in a hurry. There's people here that are willing to pray for you. We love you. And sometimes I sense like there's a barrier here. If you guys want prayer from someone in the back, Dale is out there in the back. He can pray for you there. If you want to step out here into the front, I'll be here somewhere. But I don't. And if you just, you can just ask the neighbor next to you and say, would you pray for me? You don't have to specify any details. The Lord knows. But if you need prayer, don't leave without being prayed for. None of us are perfect. None of us have it all together. I need prayer too. You need prayer. And we just have to admit it and say, Lord, you know what we need. Come. Wash us. Forgive us our sins. Heal us. Restore us. Give us the strength, the power to be, to walk as children of light, so that we can be an impact in the community. We don't want to be like that solar light that is unpowered. We want to be powered by the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you once again, Father, for this time. Thank you for your word. We pray that that you would protect us. Don't let the enemy steal the seed from our hearts. Empower us. Cleanse us, wash us, renew us, revive us, Lord. Do what you need to do so that we can be children of light. Thank you for your love and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen.